Upper Lynn Canal mountain goat hunters will be required to take a quiz before receiving a permit next season. And two Haines residents start a seed selling business to promote sustainable farming. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. 4 months after Skagway voters rejected a proposed lease extension between the municipality and White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad, talks between the Borough Assembly and White Pass have started up again. The first discussion took place behind closed doors. On Monday, the Borough Assembly held a special meeting to talk with White Pass President John Finlayson and local White Pass Director Tyler Rose. Finlayson approached the Assembly earlier this month. He requested a meeting to discuss port planning in executive session.
I think it's worth preserving a cooperative relationship as opposed to entering into a competitive relationship. If we compete, again, you're not just competing with the company White Pass, but you're going to be competing with the 200 people that work with us.
The reasoning given for the executive session Monday was that the discussion involved potential borough funding and proprietary financial information of White Pass. The closed-door meeting lasted about 2.5 hours. When the Assembly reconvened in open session, Mayor Mark Schaefer said the next step is this.
We'll continue a conversation with White Pass in the public realm, and we will continue working on the other things we discussed, which are whatever other options are.
The municipality has about 16 months to use $7 million in state grant funds for city port improvements. That money was originally slated for the Gateway Project, which includes contamination cleanup in the ore basin and improvements to industrial and cruise ship dock facilities. White Pass leases much of the port tidelands from the municipality. The October rejection of the lease extension led to uncertainty about whether White Pass would cooperate on the port developments. Mayor Schaefer plans to give an update about the Assembly's conversation with White Pass at Thursday's Borough Assembly meeting. The Assembly is also holding another special meeting Monday, February 22nd, to put together a proposal for how to proceed with port improvements. That meeting will not be held in executive session. Upper Lynn Canal mountain goat hunters will have an extra step to take before gaining a hunting license this fall. At the recommendation of the Upper Lynn Canal Fish and Game Advisory Committee, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game will implement a mandatory educational quiz for hunters. The committee hopes the quiz will discourage the harvest of female mountain goats. The 25-question mountain goat identification quiz asks questions about why harvesting nannies is detrimental to goat populations. It also includes pictures of goats, asking which are nannies and which are billies. And there are pictures of goats asking, should you take the shot? Fish and game biologists don't want hunters to take the shot if they come across a nanny. It's not illegal to shoot a female goat, but taking nannies can significantly reduce the overall mountain goat population. Right now, the harvest is managed with a point system based on goat counts. Each area is given a maximum number of points. For each billy taken, 1 point is deducted. For a nanny, 2 points are deducted. Wildlife biologist Carl Koch says there is no biological emergency in Unit 1D, which extends from Eldred Rock to the Canadian border. But he says some areas of concern where the goat population seems to have declined are the Toksinuk Range, the east side of Chilkoot Lake, and Skagway Pie.
And if people were to target billies, it might help the population recover.
The Fish and Game Advisory Committee talked about making the areas of concern billy-only harvests. In that case, the harvest would be closed if someone were to take a nanny. But Koch said that would be very restrictive for areas that don't have biological emergencies.
We don't want to make this impossible. We just want to bring it to people's attention that if you target a male, it's better for the population.
The committee voted unanimously to add the educational quiz as a requirement to acquire a mountain goat hunting permit for Unit 1D. The quiz is available online on ADF&G's website. Aside from Haines, it is currently mandated in Cordova and Valdez hunting units. Koch said the new requirement should be in place by this fall's hunting season. Fish and game biologists also plan to hold an educational meeting in Haines for mountain goat hunters before the season starts. Koch said he hopes the quiz and hunter meeting will be low-burden, high-payoff strategies to protect nannies. Farmers Leah Wagner and Nick Schlossstein have planted roots in Haines to embark on a unique business venture. Foundroot focuses mostly on seed cultivation, sustainable farming, and permaculture. KHNS's Jillian Rogers visited their plot of land to talk about the ins and outs of recycling seeds.
For non-gardeners, February is perhaps just another snowy winter month. But for those who farm, big or small, February means seed mania. A lot of thought goes into what to plant and where to plant it, especially here in Alaska, where the growing season is short and difficult. For Wagner and Schlossstein, getting into the seed biz has been a few years in the making. Here's Wagner.
Foundroot started as an open pollinated vegetable seed company, and we were sort of expanding into bigger ideas from there. We grow permaculturally. We talk a lot about sustainable homesteading methods, a lot of traditional wildcrafting, and just ways to live in a more sustainable way, specifically in Alaska and other cold climate places.
She says she learned the art of seed saving in the lower 48 and British Columbia. Then she moved to Palmer and worked on an organic farm there. She says she noticed something right away.
There was just such a need for more food. And it just didn't matter how much everyone produced, there just was this huge demand for better local food everywhere. We couldn't hold on to any of our vegetables any week at market, and it seemed like that was the same situation for any other farmers in the area.
The funny thing about that, Wagner says, is that no one was really discussing seeds. Seed saving allows for more abundant and better varieties of vegetables. After her first summer in Alaska, Wagner went to seed school in Arizona. So what does a seed course in the desert have to do with farming in Alaska? Wagner says the instructor was well-versed in growing in cold climates and high altitudes, as well as nurturing crops through drought.
Seed school was essentially a crash course in all things seeds. So we talked about issues with GMOs and political power, the companies that own our seeds right now, and the loss of diversity.
Foundroot has been selling non-GMO seeds from outside the state, a wide variety of hardy veggies that do well in Alaska, grown and harvested ethically. Wagner says most of the seeds they sell are heirloom seeds, or varieties that have a long history. This is Foundroot's fourth year in operation, and they sell seeds mostly online to farmers across the state, as far north as Anaktuvuk Pass.
Southeast is really a new market for us, and we feel like the seeds will be really viable here. And so it's really exciting to now be in this area and be able to let folks know what we're doing, because we already have a lot of support in other areas.
Schlossstein says there's been a huge loss in variety over the decades with more and more large-scale farming.
Now you go to the store and all carrots are orange, and that's not anything to do with the properties of a carrot. That's just a more marketable thing.
You know, we have round red carrots and we have long white beets, but no one sees those in the same way. And there is a resurgence of that now. There is a huge movement to bring those heirloom seeds back and those really rare varieties.
The process of producing seeds for sale means they'll have a robust garden on their small plot of land eventually. But a lot of the seeds are best harvested long after the vegetables are prime for picking. Schlossstein and Wagner say keeping the plants alive, some still in the ground over winter, so that they can collect the seeds will be a challenge. Produce like tomatoes or peppers, you can just pluck the seeds out before you eat the meat. Carrots have to go through a winter in the ground before producing flowers the next spring. Once the veggies have flowered, the seeds are eligible to be snatched, sold, and planted. Many varieties, though, will produce seeds within one Alaska growing season.
Usually with seeds, you want them to be on the plant, in the ground as long as possible, get all that great information, all that energy into the seed.
Wagner says if you're a seasoned farmer, saving seeds is intuitive and easy. And there have been seed savers in the state for years, a farmer in Homer and one near Fairbanks, but it's not exactly a popular pastime.
So for us, we really hope to be a full circle operation, and this is going to be our first year transitioning into that of growing and selling Alaska-grown seeds.
The Green Thumb Pear is just starting out in Haines. They live in a small yurt and currently only have about a half acre cleared for their garden. Wagner says they're hoping to produce enough vegetables to be eligible for a federal high tunnel grant program, which would provide them more indoor growing space. The transition from selling outside seeds to selling all Alaska-grown seeds will take a while, they say, but launching into an Alaska-grown seed market is exciting, and they're hoping to start selling their first batches of homegrown seeds in 2017. Besides offering food ownership and security, they want to make gardening simple for new farmers by offering tough, tasty, Alaska-worthy varieties. Reporting in Haines, I'm Jillian Rogers.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening.